talk to you about a very practical problem that we'd like to have some sound ways of dealing with. And that is that almost all of the rice in the United States and most of the world, most of the rice production, I should say, is in flooded conditions. And the removal of the flood is, unlike many other irrigation decisions in rice, is frequently a irreversible decision because of the structures we have to put up in the field to maintain that flood. And in general, we want to be able to harvest in dry conditions, but we don't want to allow the conditions to lead to yield reductions. And that's kind of the summary of the paper, and I'll show you what we've done. Are you able to hear me all right? In Arkansas, as in many other parts of the world, we have a serious drawdown in our underground water resources. And you can look at this this graphic and compare the water usage coming out of either the Sparta Aquifer or the Alluvial Aquifer in Arkansas and see the increase in water usage between 1965 and 2000. And maybe I would there's a little bit of a blip right in here in this 85 area, but in general it kind of looks to me like we maybe have had a geometrical increase in the use of irrigation water. The loss of water from these aquifers in practical terms will not be returned. We cannot recharge those aquifers. So ways to conserve water in rice production is extremely important because many areas of Arkansas, rice is the most profitable crop that can be grown. And we need to find ways to grow the crop. People, the industry is based on this, on rice production, and it's a very critical problem. And I'll show you some of the economics a little bit later. The central idea from previous research that we had done going back over 20 years, this thing ought to move, but anyway, farmers can safely drain their rice a lot earlier than widely practiced without reducing rough rice yield or head rice yield. If you look at a mill kernel of rice, when you eat rice, heads are unbroken kernels or kernels three-quarters or more of their original length. There's an aesthetic thing. You like to look at a whole grain of rice when you're eating. But also, when you break that kernel, you open up the lipids inside the kernel and allow for rancidity to occur. So it actually affects the taste. So head rice is the main quality. The proportion or percentage of head rice is the main quality component for rice. Acceptance of this practice has been limited. Rice growers still do not drain their rice as early as they can. A new approach to draining rice is what we're proposing, something very simple that a farmer can do and just step through a program. Program for draining rice, which integrates rice crop water usage, rice developmental timing, and soil water contents at drain. So outline of what I'd like to talk to you about this morning. I plan to stay well within my time limits, Mr. Chairman. I want to talk to you about the rice growth staging system. Show you a little bit about timing of the reproductive rice growth stages. Talk about water use by the rice crop. Timing with DD50 units or thermal time units. And from that we develop water use per stage of development or per growth stage. And we'll talk a little bit about how we develop water available to the crop after the rice, after the soil is drained. And then I'll put all these components together, primarily in a little Excel program. And I pasted it up on the board for you to see. The growth staging system was made so that rice researchers, extension people, and farmers could effectively discuss the stage of development of their rice in terms of which two people looking at the same plant would come up with the same answer, same growth stage. R4 is anthesis, and the beginning of R4, those filaments holding the anthers are at erect points to the grain. They're sticking straight out. That's the beginning of R4. At that point, the grain has been pollinated. Before it opens, the grain has been pollinated in greater than 90 to 98% of the grains. The grain, as in most grains, within the hull, which is limonpalea in rice, that hull begins to expand. And you see an expansion of that hull to the tip. This is stage of development we designate as R5. R6 is when that hull has developed, the caryopsis has developed to the end of the hull. And if you turn that to its side, to this dimension, you'll see that it begins to thicken. And this is where starch is accumulating in that grain. When one grain on the main stem panicle is turned yellow, we call that R7. When one grain is turned brown on the main stem panicle, we term that plant R8. And when all grains which reached R6 have turned brown, we term that as R9. To give you an idea now of the thermal time, DD50 units, as we call them, or DD10 units, is what I put down, should be consistent with our program guidelines. These are the DD50 units for the different stages of development. From R3 to R4 is about 50. From R4 to R5 is about 50. R5 and R6 is about 100. R7 is about 200. And R8 is about, which would be R8 to R9, all these, the interval between the beginning of that stage and the next stage is what we're talking about. That would be 350 DD50 units, or DD10 units in this case. In terms of typical days, this means that there would be 3 to 5 days for most of these, 4 to 6 days for these early growth stages, R3, R4, and R5. For R6 and R7, it means there would be 5 to 8 days. And for R8 to R9, there will be 13 to 15 days. And you put that all together, you come up, if you add these together, somewhere around 35 days is a normal development of the rice plant from R3, that is exertion of the panicle, to complete maturity of the rice. If we look at millimeters of water use, and we want to look at maximum water use, because we don't want to underestimate the amount of water. We don't want a drought stress occurring. So we, even though conditions may not allow maximum water use at that growth stage, that's what we use. And we're showing that we used, even though some of these are a lot shorter, water is used much faster at the earlier growth stage. About the maximum stage of development for water use per day is R3, or not about, it is the fastest stage. The other stages are longer, and in general, they use about 25 millimeters of water. Some more, some quite a bit more, but in general, we can say about 25 millimeters of water, which is an inch of water per growth stage. So we take all those things together, including the water that's held in the soil. Remember, in rice, unlike other plants, the plant can use the water between saturation and field capacity. There's no problem using saturated soil conditions. So in this soil, we figured we would have, in this DeWitt silt loam soil, we'd have 3.5 inches of water in this Gillette field. And we figured, working backwards, these are the amounts of water we would need for each stage of development. We would add, for instance, from R8 to R9, we use 1.11. From R7 to R8, we'd use 0.71. So we'd add these together, keep adding them together until, as long as this number over here, that is the cumulative water use working backwards, the cumulative water use from maturity to a specific growth stage is equal to or less than the amount of water in the soil, then we could safely drain that rice field. Okay, that's what we did, and we predicted. I'm showing you the results of 3 years of research today. In Gillette, we had no difference between rough rice yield and head rice yield in 2005. These controls, these are in farmer fields, and we drove steel frames down into the soil so we could drain one without draining the surrounding area. And I wanted to get a control that looked at the effect of the steel frames. So this control had no steel frame, this had a steel frame, this one didn't. The long and short was, in this experiment, there was a loss of stand after I installed the frames, and the loss of stand accounted for all of the variation in these yields. So in this particular case, this yield on control two was a little, was higher. It was significantly higher, but when we did an analysis of covariance, it showed that the reason for that was the difference in population. Head rice yields did not differ significantly in either case. We did an experiment in Stuttgart in 2005, 2006. This is an old slide. In Stuttgart results, I should have thrown that slide out before I got here. I thought I had done that. Anyway, for 3 years, the yields did not differ in any case, not significantly different for the program, that is draining by the program predictions, versus draining by the, as would be practiced as recommended by the Cooperative Extension Service or typically practiced by farmers. Head rice yields, we don't have this year's head rice yields, but they also were not significantly different for the Stuttgart location. The DeWitt results, we did this the last 2 years of the study. There were no significant differences in grain yield or in head rice yield for 2006 for head rice yield. I haven't got my head rice yield results for this year yet. We're still analyzing those. Okay. Now, just a bit about the practical importance of this. This is the result of one less 3-inch irrigation. If a farmer can save one less 3-inch irrigation in the Arkansas Grand Prairie and many other parts of Arkansas, this is the amount per hectare saved. When the pump lift is 15 meters, about 50 feet, the savings would be $11 per hectare. 22 at 30, 33 at 45, and somewhere in this area here, and this goes back to the slide I told you about the drawdown of the aquifer, regardless of whether regulations would ever come to pass, the cost of extracting the water, our economist, Dr. Brad Watkins, shown us, somewhere in this area here, it becomes too expensive to extract water. Even, and this is a cheaper price of diesel than we have today. A little bit, not a lot. But at this 45 to 60 feet, the cost of extracting that water is too great to obtain a profitable return on the farm. But even where you can grow rice profitably, it is extremely important that all the savings that are possible, and this would allow a minimum of this savings, and I think probably more, but I wanted to be conservative in what I was saying. So payoff from early draining, reduce water cost or greater water availability for watering soybeans. Secondly, reduce tillage and harvesting cost. And thirdly, just to give you an idea of what we're talking about, a potential savings of $23 to $48 per hectare, per acre. I'm sorry, I mixed this again, but 2.46 times. Okay, did I do all right, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, you did. That's a good question.
Yes, years ago down in Texas, Dr. McCauley did some similar work. And one of the things he found out, he wouldn't necessarily affect the first crop. And what the question is about the ratoon crop in rice. Rice is a perennial grass in warm enough conditions. In some parts of the United States and other parts of the world, after the first crop is harvested, rice is re-flooded and a second crop is grown. He's asking a question about does it affect the ratoon crop, and it certainly can. It's more likely to affect the ratoon crop than it is the first crop. You may not have hurt the first crop at all, but the tillering can be very bad by on the ratoon crop.
What happened with the quality of the grain?
There was no difference in the quality. As we measure quality, there are some other things like starch properties and things like that. But the main quality component that farmers are assessed in the United States for buying and selling rice are head rice yield. And there were no significant differences between the head rice yield of the program. In some cases, 13 days earlier, grain 13 days prior to our 14, and so are all those 14 days, with one exception 14 days prior to the second, with no head rice yield or quality reduction, and no yield.
The standard that has been allowed as a